right, so I'm joined here today by a young upstart, a young kind of rising driver in the NASCAR series, the driver of the number 70 Bayshore Mortgage Chevrolet, Mr. Thomas Annunziata. Thank you so much for taking the time and talking with me today.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for having me.
So first and foremost, kind of a new deal here with you and the Cope family racing team. It kind of came together pretty recently. What's it like kind of just been getting, chemistry with the new team and getting everything ready for this weekend?
I mean, it's good. There's some new faces and old faces. A lot of the people that I'm working with, I started racing go-karts with not too long ago. So, and a lot of the guys I'm working with now work with the Trans Am shop. So, it feels like home in a way, and meeting some of the new people as well, which is nice. But no, it's going off well, and it's nice and comforting.
And I heard you had a test session at Rockingham recently. How did that go with the new team?
It went positive, super super positive. And not many teams startups get to say that, but we were much faster than we thought we were going to be right off the bat, and I felt really good about the race car. And specifically me as well. I mean, first of all, it's terrifying, those ovals. I mean, I'm usually on road courses, but the amount of speed you carry through those corners is wild. But I was able to get it down pretty quickly, and we were quick right off the bat. So positive test.
Yeah, that's good to see. I know you're a road course guy. That you got kind of thrown into the deep end at Rockingham, kind of a tough track to race around. But, yeah, that sounds great that everything went positive. I know that 70 car has had a lot of speed over the past 2 weeks. They're 12th in points right now, so that's probably got to feel good knowing you're going to a car that's been pretty competitive to start the season.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, it's definitely got tons of speed on a super speedway, but we'll see how it is when it comes to a track that you have to brake and rotate the race car, and where you really need the chassis to do the work and the car to do the work. And I think that's where we'll be tested ultimately the next couple weeks. Phoenix as well. Phoenix, I'll be driving in that race, and that's another track where you need good rotation and good tire wear, a car that lasts the whole race and braking. And so we'll find out, but definitely feels really good, especially compared to some of the other teams I've raced against or I raced with last year in the Xfinity Series. I believe and hope that this car will be more competitive, and if that's the case, let's ride, baby.
Yeah, it'll be fun. It'll definitely be fun seeing you kind of go through the with the field. You know, I know that road courses are kind of your expertise, and you won in the Trans Am series. Overall, though, like, the cars are a little bit different, but I'd imagine there's some similarities with the Trans Am car and the Xfinity car.
Yeah, I mean, other than, you know, the car being heavier and a little bit more sloppy to drive, which makes it more fun. It's got more horsepower, too. But the Trans Am cars are basically close to the same thing. Trans Am cars have a little bit more downforce, a little bit less horsepower, but everything else is the same. So, no, I'm not even a little bit worried about it. It's my job to adapt to it, so I feel good.
Yeah, for sure. You've mentioned in sort of the interview you had with Eric Estep how aggressive a lot of people are in this series. Is it sort of different, like, with how aggressive some of the drivers race in the Xfinity series than sort of the other series that you've ran in?
I'd say so. I mean, the Trans Am series is basically NASCAR racing with the FIA or Formula One type rules. You can't just take someone out and expect to get away with it. It's hard racing, it's clean racing, but if you do someone wrong, you're going to get a penalty for it. So I believe that the racing in the Trans Am series can be a bit more classic or classy, but in the Xfinity series, if someone doesn't like you or is sick of you, they can just take you out. So I think, especially going into the final couple laps with a few restarts, it's going to be hectic, but the rules also apply to me. So if that means I'm in the position to move a few people out of the way, I will do it. So, I don't know. We'll see. It sounds really cool and, you know, a free-for-all, so I'm excited for it.
Yeah, for sure. And sort of with this course being a lot shorter now, do you think that we'll see more sort of beating and banging than we have with the long course at COTA?
Yeah. Maybe. Yeah. You know, yeah, I'd say yeah. Because, I mean, there's a lot of tight corners. Right after the S's, I think you'll have a lot of beating and banging. Yeah, for sure. Just thinking about it.
Yeah, like it seems like you know, with the cars kind of, with the track being much shorter, you would think that a lot more people will get more aggressive. But overall, I think that'll be fun for the fans, but for the driver, I'd imagine that that would kind of be sort of a headache.
Yeah, it would. I mean, it really depends on what side you're on, right? I think if you get shuffled out, you're going to be shuffled out hard. So I think it's going to be move or be moved. But we're also in the entertainment business, right? So it's our job to be uncomfortable, and it's our job to make everyone at home excited and looking forward to the race and looking forward to watching the chaos.
Yeah, for sure. So overall, when it comes to this track, what do you think the part, which part of the track do you think we'll see sort of the most like passing and the most exciting part of COTA for people who are coming to watch this weekend?
I think turn one and the last sector. I think the S's, I mean, no one really passes in the S's. I think that the S's really set it up for what's going to happen in the last sector. So if you get into the S's side by side, or someone else messes the S's up and someone else aces it, that's how you're going to close up. So I think in the S's, that'll be where people are going to close up to each other, and that'll predict whatever happens in the last sector. But the last sector is just a super wide, awkward sort of line that opens up for people to either make moves or have to defend super hard. So I think turn one and every other corner besides the S's.
For sure. That's really some good insight. So overall, you've mentioned you'll be running Phoenix this year in COTA. Is there any other plans to sort of run some of the other road courses, maybe like Sonoma during the schedule, or what's kind of your plans going forward?
Yes, sir. I believe we will be doing Sonoma, Watkins Glen, possibly Mexico, Charlotte, Roval, the Chicago race. I'll be doing basically almost every single road course possible, but we'll be doing some short tracks as well, and intermediate tracks. And Leland will be doing a bunch of the intermediate tracks, short tracks, and super speedways. And, yeah, I mean, I'm trying to get into some cars in the Lime Rock race too, the NASCAR race at Lime Rock. We'll try to get into a seat there because I feel like I'm really good there. But, yeah, a lot of road courses and a lot more ovals this year too. Need to learn those ovals.
I'm glad you mentioned Lime Rock. That's probably my favorite road course in the country. It's sort of like a short track type of road course track. That's a fun track, I'd imagine.
Tons of elevation too, so it's super fun, and that's more my home track really. It's where I live. That's where I grew up. So
yeah, right around Connecticut.
I grew up in New Jersey, so I'm a couple hour drive away, but nothing else is closer.
Yeah, that makes sense. So you mentioned kind of running on short tracks and intermediates. Is there a track that's sort of a short track that you've enjoyed going to, just in general, like, or a track that you look forward to running on in the future?
Well, I really have not. I've never done a short track, so I can't tell you there's one that I've been to that I'm looking forward to. But, I mean, I guess ones that I'm excited to see how I do or how the experience is like is probably Bristol, Martinsville, and I'm trying to think of other ones. But I would say those two, honestly, those short tracks.
Yeah, I know you have some experience in Pocono as well. That's kind of an interesting track. It's sort of like, I've heard a lot of drivers compare that track to like a road course. How's it been kind of driving on those type of tracks, like that and the super speedways?
Super speedways is just a chess game, right? It's scary too. But the Pocono race, I mean, that was interesting. I mean, here's how I look at it. I don't think it's the ovals are particularly difficult to learn. I think it's the racecraft. I mean, people who grew up doing road course, especially me, I mean, we go to racetracks that have 15 to 25 different corners around a single lap. I mean, an oval would be four different corners to learn. So at Pocono, it's three different, very different corners from each other. But I have the mental capacity to figure it out fairly quickly. You know, it's really cool. And I think it produced really good racing too, but it's definitely a good place to learn.
Yeah, that's interesting. You mentioned the racecraft. I guess just kind of knowing when to stop to come in and managing your tires would be the most intriguing thing about the ovals.
Yeah, probably that too, but I'd say more, you know, knowing and learning where the air is and learning how to get around drivers around an oval. I mean, at a road course, I could send it from five cars back and make it stick in one corner. Where oval racing, it could sometimes take 10 laps side by side with a guy to get around him, and it's just a bunch of micro movements that are going to determine whether you get around the guy or not. So I think that part will be more interesting and probably the most difficult part of it all.
Yeah, for sure. So to kind of put to wrap it up a little bit, I wanted to talk a little bit about your MX5 experience. That's probably one of my favorite series in the country. And recently they ran at Martinsville and those MX5 cars. Like that must have been interesting to see sort of those little sports cars run around the paperclip.
No, it did seem really cool. It was a decent show. I hope they do it again. But yeah, a lot of the guys, every guy that was on that track too has never done an oval before. So to do it in a Mazda at a tight track like that must have been funny and a cool experience for them to learn as well. I think it'd be good.
Yeah, for sure. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off there. But yeah, that's so cool. The MX-5 cars are like, it seems like they're the most fun to drive of that. It seems like that'd be a really cool series to just kind of go and have fun in.
Yes, I would say it wouldn't be my number one pick to go racing in again. I didn't have the greatest experience there, but the racing is definitely crazy. But I wouldn't say it's my first pick of a race car to choose, but if I were to go to just have fun and just drive and go to race, maybe after my career is done and I'm washed up and retired, or maybe just for fun for other reasons. But I think that would definitely be a place for me to go.
Thank you so much for taking the time and talking with me today. It's really, truly a pleasure to get to talk to you. You can catch Thomas Annunziata on the Xfinity circuit this year, driving the number 70 Bayshore Mortgage Chevy this week at COTA. Thank you so much for your time and have a really good race on Saturday. I look forward to seeing you.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you for having me.
Of course. Well, there you go. That's Thomas Annunziata. Have a good one.
Thank you. Bye, guys.
Bye-bye.